The book of Proverbs touches on many down-to-earth topics, and this morning we are going to read some sayings on those proverbs on work-related attitudes. So let's take a look at the... Okay, here we go. Okay, so let's read these two together. These proverbs talk about like some characteristics of a sluggard. So let's read these two and take a look. Those who work the land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense. And in the next one, those who work the land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies will have their fill of poverty. So as you can see, these two proverbs are quite similar. Well, basically, the first sentence is the same, and the second one is slightly different. And these two similar proverbs both use the phrase "who chase fantasies" to contrast those who work the land. So if the latter, those who work the land, means those who are diligent and spend time doing solid work, then those who chase fantasies mean what? Are those who are daydreamers. So any daydreamers here? Or who is, probably you are still dreaming. But anyway, so of course, Proverbs encourages planning. So there's no doubt about it. You can find a lot of Proverbs about planning ahead and thinking ahead and pray for that. But mere daydreaming is something not promoted in this book. So in these two proverbs that we are reading, it's very obvious that like hardworking is a positive virtue, and those who chase fantasies or daydreaming is something not to be encouraged. Let's take a look at this too. So, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. So, this proverb juxtaposes two types of behavior. Hardworking versus mere talking. So, if you are a very talkative person, beware of this, okay? Avoid just talking without doing things. So this is another characteristic of a lazy person, mere talking without doing. And as we go down to the next one, this passage actually is, we have just read this passage earlier. This passage uses vivid images to depict a sluggard. Okay, so let's take a look at these verses again. A sluggard says, "There is a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets." Do you know why this sluggard is saying this? No idea? Well, let me give you the whole picture, then you understand why there is such a proverb. So when someone asks you to go out and work, "Oh, come on out, and you have to go to school to go to work," then this is how you answer, okay? "No, there's a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets. So I can't go out because I will be eaten by a lion." So this is how... this is what it means. So, of course, this is just an excuse used by a lazy person, a sluggard. But, like, how about today? What kind of excuses will you use if you don't want to do stuff? Okay, maybe if your parents ask you to do this or that, then you just simply say, "Well, no, I'm not going to do it." Or you simply just don't respond, all right, sometimes. So, and when the work is really hard, maybe your school work is really hard, then so what will you do? Do you give any excuse? Maybe you will say, "Well, it's too hard. I don't know how to do it." But probably you haven't spent enough time trying it out. So to a certain extent, laziness may be an easy way out because you just don't want to face the difficulties and challenges. So the book of Proverbs talk quite a bit about diligence and laziness, believe it or not. If you still remember a long time ago, I talked about in the book of Proverbs, there's just two types of people. Not the two types that I mentioned last month, men and women, okay? But two types, the righteous and the unrighteous, and also the wise and the fool. And believe it or not, also the hardworking, the diligent, and the sluggard, okay? These people are just types of people mentioned in the Proverbs. Good people, bad people, okay? So a sluggard is one who is lazy all the time, habitually. So if you, I don't know whether you, if there are just two types, hardworking and sluggard, which group do you belong? Okay? Of course, life is not that simple, but in the book of Proverbs, life is that simple. Only two types, two groups. Which group do you want to belong to? And this is the question, and this is the challenge too. Let's keep reading this. Verses 14 and 15. As the door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. Don't know, understand what it's saying? This is a very vivid picture. Probably this happens to you this morning. So you don't want to go up, like come out from your bag, and you just want to sleep a little bit more. So you turn and turn, and after turning for a while, you are still there, right? You're still on the bed. Just like a door on the hinges, even when it turns, the door is still there, right? Turning without moving, okay? And then the next one, I like it so much, the 15. A sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He is too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. I think this is obvious. I don't need to explain. I don't know whether your parents or you yourself have heard such a Chinese story. And for those older folks, probably you have you should have learned about this story. There's a Chinese story about a family, and the son is really, really lazy. Okay, just like the one mentioned in 26:15. So he buries his hand in the dish and too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. But like at one point, the parents have to leave the house for a weekend. Okay, but they are afraid that their son will die because he'll be starved to death, right? So what do they do? Okay, so the older folks, probably you know that story, right? So they have baked a really huge bread and try to and make two holes there and link it with a string and then put it on the neck of that lazy son, okay? And they think, well, that's safe, just a weekend, right? So we can go because the bread is right here in front of his mouth and here, okay? So when they return, guess what? The son died. Do you know why? When they look at the son and the bread, they can see the bread is still tying in his neck with like this part eaten. But for the rest, the son is too lazy to lift up the bread to eat the rest of the bread. So the son died, okay? So this verse always reminds me of that Chinese story. And let's take a look at verse 16, and then we'll talk a little bit more about laziness, okay? A sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven people who answer discreetly. A sluggard is the self-deceiver, always trying to persuade himself or herself that I'm so smart, or I don't need to be diligent, because only those stupid people need to work hard, right? I'm smart, and so I can spend half the time that people need to work and can accomplish twice and twofold. A sluggard is a self-deceiver. Okay, let's go back to the major characteristic mentioned in this passage, verses 14 and 15. A sluggard seems like he is always tired, sleeping, and always like too tired, too lazy to bring back the food to his mouth. So if you think you are tired all the time, so anyone here who you think you are tired all the time, I don't know why, but you're just too tired to do anything, okay? There are a few reasons, okay? Psychologically, you may be depressed, okay? Because depressed people like to sleep all the time. Okay, so if this is your problem, deal with it. Okay, otherwise you can't accomplish anything in your life. And sometimes I've mentioned it a little bit earlier. Sometimes maybe the stuff is just too hard. You think in your mind it's too hard for you to accomplish to do it. So sleeping or pretending to be tired may be an easy way out of this difficult problem. And maybe let me deal with the root problem. And you should ask yourself why you are tired all the time. Okay, maybe you spend the whole line up you doing some unimportant stuff, right? So there are a lot of reasons, and you need to deal with the root problem, and this is important. And I don't know how often in churches we talk about diligence and laziness, but in the book of Proverbs, this is serious business, believe it or not. The same as being wise versus being a fool, and the same as being righteous versus being unrighteous. So this is serious matter. It's not something to be joked about. And this is the attitude one needs to have, to be diligent, to be hardworking. So of course, when it comes to the work-related matters, no matter we are talking about schoolwork, housework, and your job, maybe ministry, this virtue and this attitude still applies to these areas, right? And this is important that we realize that, like, diligence is something that God wants in your life. But of course, Proverbs taught something else besides being diligent in work-related areas. So let's take a look at these other Proverbs quickly. Let's take a look at these two together. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. And the next one, a faithful person will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished. So two other related characteristics or virtues are mentioned here. Integrity and faithfulness. What does it mean to have integrity and faithfulness in your work? First of all, I think in terms of time, well, let me tell you this real story, okay? I overheard this conversation from two Christians, okay? Very devoted Christians, okay? Good Christians in church. And A is saying to B, and A is saying, well, we're going to have a vacation like in a month's time, so can you join us? And then Christian B, after checking her calendar, I have used up all my vacation days, like the times. But that's okay. I still have 4 more sick days left, so I can use them up to cover those days. Then, so I can join your vacation. Okay. Anything wrong here in the conversation? Is that normal? Okay. That's happened last night in your conversation with your friend. Okay. So sometimes we find this common. Everyone is doing this, okay? People are just calling in sick and doing something else. And sometimes people think, well, we are entitled to those sick days, right? So why can't I use those days and to go shopping or to have a vacation? This is work ethic, and this is important. And I hope if you are a good Christian in church, you will be a good student at school, and you will be a good employee at work, okay? And this is very important. Christians just don't do good things in church. To a certain extent, Christians should be good people and doing good stuff and having good behavior and having integrity and faithfulness in their work, schoolwork, your job, and also in ministry. And this is very important. Maybe you have heard a lot of times from the news that government officials sometimes took advantage of the system and then get some money, get some subsidy, a housing allowance here and there. I cannot speak like in their place, but sometimes I think like those people, actually they are quite rich already, but they are using their power to get some advantage. Maybe not a big deal, maybe just a few hundred dollars, a few thousands dollars, and maybe they think they're entitled to it, and maybe they think they work so hard then they need to have more compensation to it, and maybe they're just enjoying, like having the joy of taking advantage of the system, because I have the power, so I want to take advantage of the system. But as Christians, we should know that we should have integrity and faithfulness in work. And this is very important. And if we cannot be a good person in work, then you cannot be a good Christian, and of course not a good witness in your workplace or school. And this is something that we need to remember. Take a look at this. A wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a trustworthy envoy brings healing. Okay, let's talk about the context. Okay, because nowadays probably we don't understand what a messenger or envoy does. Okay, messengers play an important role in human relations in an age long before emails. Okay, they may be given a letter or perhaps an oral message in a timely and accurate fashion. A reliable envoy would be one who delivered the message in a timely and accurate fashion. A wicked messenger could fail to deliver the message, delay it, or garble its content. So being a reliable, a trustworthy messenger is a very important task in the ancient world. And this another related proverb. Like a snow cool drink at harvest time. So in Palestine, the harvest time may be in May or June, and the weather is really hot. And if you can imagine you work all day under the sun, then this is what you want. You want to have a snow cool drink. So like a snow cool drink at harvest time is a trustworthy messenger to the one who sends them. He refreshes the spirit of his master. So these two proverbs talk about something also related to work, and this is about reliability, and maybe you can add accountability, and this is important in work too, and also in ministry. Let me tell you another bad experience that I had long ago. While I was still a pastor at a church, I was supervising some college students teaching Sunday school. This is probably what you do right here. So, and on one Saturday night, okay, so of course, Sunday school happens on Sunday mornings, right? So on a Saturday night, one of the students who, needed to teach the other morning, called me and told me, "Well, Edward, I'm so sorry to tell you, I had no time to prepare for the Sunday school tomorrow. Can you cover it for me?" And then, okay, I felt so sad too, because I have to do extra work. But I asked, why? What happened? And then that guy told me, "Well, because I went fishing all day today, so I had no time to prepare the Sunday school." Okay. Well, first of all, doing the preparation the day before may not be the best practice, okay? So if you are a Sunday school teacher, okay, don't think that you can do it within an hour or two, and don't start on Saturday night, okay? So that's rule number one. Okay, but let's talk about responsibility, reliability, and accountability. And
I think this is quite important, and I hope this will not happen to you in this church. Okay, nothing happened to you, right? Okay, that's good. And so this is trivial, but this happened in real life in churches, unfortunately. And I hope this so simple teaching will remind you that this is totally unacceptable. So if you need to finish your assignment like on time, and if you need to go to a job interview on time, then you need to prepare and finish your ministry on time. Okay? The same thing. Okay? Ministry is not something like less important that you can just give the burden to someone else in the last minute. Okay? Maybe I'm speaking too much of this because of the bad experience. But this happened. Okay, this happens. I'm almost done. A few more. I like this one. Okay, Proverb 14:4. Let's think about this and let's see what you think this passage can mean. Where there are no oxen, the manger is empty. Of course, right? But from the string of an ox come abundant harvest. So what does it mean? Okay, this is obvious, right? If you don't have an animal and ox there, then the manger is empty. And then in terms of work, let's think of it this way. In terms of work, you have less work to do because you don't have to clean the manger, right? And you don't need to feed the ox and oxen, right? So you spend less time and you can enjoy your life. Of course, not too much, but you can have more time to enjoy your life. But the second verse says, but from the string of an ox come abundant harvest. So if you are a farmer, which option will you pick if you have a choice? Whether you want to have no ox at all, or you want to have plenty of oxen. Let's see. Okay, let's have a vote. Who wants less work and have no oxen in the manger? Let's raise up your hand. Okay, and who wants to have plenty of oxen to do the farming? Although you have to manage and clean the manger. Anyone? Okay, most of you. Very good. And I think this is the spirit of this proverb. Although it didn't spell it out explicitly, there are two lessons to be learned, okay? Because sometimes you don't have a choice. You just don't have the money to buy an ox, all right? Then live with it and have a positive attitude, okay? Because you have no oxen, the manger is empty, okay? And you have more time to enjoy your life. That's good. Right, but of course, the second part is, I think, is of higher importance. So if you can buy an ox or a whole bunch of oxen, and then you can increase your harvest and products, right? So this is important. When we apply this principle to work, I think if you think you are doing some mediocre task, well, be content because you don't need to think and you have more time to enjoy your life. But if you can, aim for excellence in your work. Try to improve. Try to get in an upper position. And I think this is important. And I think the bottom line is aim for excellence. Don't try to achieve just enough, okay? Try to do more. Try to attain excellence. And this is something that I think we need to remember in school, at work, and also in ministry, in churches too. And this one, I like it very much too, 24:27. Put your outdoor work in order and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. What does it mean? Some commentators understand building a house as an idiom for finding a household, that means raising up a family. But In ancient Israel, men usually marry quite young and live in the father's extended household while working the family holding. So build your house here, I believe actually means literally. So build a house for yourself, a better house, a bigger house, okay? So the spirit of this proverb, I would say, is that you need to do the work that needs to be done. That is the work outside, outdoor work, and also your fields. So this is the responsibility that you have, and you need to get things done. And then after that, and when you still have time and money and energy left, do the stuff that you love to do. If you want to live more comfortably, if you want to have a bigger house, a more fancy house, then do it, okay? But first of all, do the stuff that needs to be done. And this is important. I find that sometimes people may pretend to be hardworking, spending lots of time on an important task in order to avoid or procrastinate difficult responsibilities. And I think this proverb reminds us that first do the stuff that needs to be done, and then you can do the stuff that you like. And this is very important. And lastly, I want to talk about this one, and this is the last proverb on this topic this morning. The one who guards a fig tree will eat its fruit, and whoever protects their master will be honored. Think about it. What does it mean? It seems quite obvious. The one who guards a fig tree will eat its fruit, and whoever protects their master will be honored. Let's focus on the first nine first, okay? The one who guards a fig tree. So do you think this job is very challenging and very meaningful to a certain extent, or whoever does it enjoys it very much? Probably not. Guarding a fig tree is a repetitive and boring task. And probably this is the point. So we need to have the ability to stay with the most repetitive and boring work. At times, work is like that, okay? Even like schoolwork, sometimes it's repetitive, boring. Your actual work, like with the work that you earn money, yeah, sometimes it's like that. It's not so fun, and you just need to do it in order to get the salary, right? And sometimes I would say ministry, for some ministry, they're not very challenging, but people have to do it, and at least someone has to do it, right? And sometimes it's repetitive, and sometimes it's boring too. And let me quote a saying from a former president of Fuller Seminary, David Hubbard. He says, when he comments on this proverb, he says, "No denial of the tedium, no annoying of the toil. Every job has its menial size. Stay with the most repetitive and boring work, and it will ultimately bear its fruit." And I think the last thing I want to talk about work ethic, this is how you work and the attitude you need to be at work, is that sometimes, yes, work is boring and life is sometimes repetitive, but do it faithfully, and in due time, you will be able to eat its fruit, and then you will be able to enjoy life. And so I hope today's sermon, although it's really trivial and simple, and you should know it before I talk about any of these positive virtues, because this is what a human being should be. And I hope as Christians, we even have higher standard, and we demand more from ourselves. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us the book of Proverbs. It talks about many down-to-earth topics, including diligence and other work ethics. And we pray that as Christians, we encourage and empower to achieve these positive virtues, to attain these positive virtues and live out our Christian life, so that like people in the workplace, at school, even in church, can be encouraged and inspired by us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now is the time of tithes and offering. Tithes and offering. Projects going on that you can support, and one of them is the Alliance Women project, and you can support it by writing Alliance Women 2014 on the offering envelopes. And the second is our own short-term missions team that's going out to Manitoba in August. You can write STM 2014.
With everything, with everything, we will shout forth your glory. With everything, with everything, we will shout forth your praise.
With everything,
with everything, with everything, we will shout forth your glory. With everything, with everything, we will shout forth.